Andy Parks, live from the Washington Times.
Welcome back. 12:06 at 1260 WRC. Andy Parks live from the Washington Times. And we start hour number two on this Tuesday with Stephen Dinan, Washington Times political editor. Hello, Stephen.
Hello, Andy.
All right, got a laundry list of stuff to go over. First of all, the story, handling of former IRS employee Lois Lerner makes lawyers cringe. You know, there's nothing better in my mind than watching lawyers cringe. Now, these are lawyers on the outside looking in.
These are lawyers who have watched, you know, and this is Washington. There are a lot of lawyers around. Some of them are involved in the process. Others are watching from the outside. And the ones watching from the outside have just been sort of appalled by the entire totality of what's been going on here with the committee, with Lois Lerner refusing to testify the way that her lawyer has advised her in terms of first allowing her to make that initial statement of her innocence back at last year's hearing, and then going on to refuse to answer any questions, which left her open to contempt of jeopardy in the first place. Then she came back and refused to answer any questions after having been told that, well, we're going to bring you back. We've rejected your Fifth Amendment defense since you already gave a short statement, so we believe you've waived that, so you're required to give testimony, and she again refused, and then you had people questioning how Republicans handled that second hearing and whether they, by not properly overruling her at each attempt to cite her Fifth Amendment, whether they lost their chance to put her in contempt. Then there are other folks who say that because she has talked with the Justice Department without any grant of immunity, that she has, at least under the rules of the D.C. Circuit Appeals Court, which controls here in Washington, D.C., she has essentially, they say you can't pick and choose in the D.C. area. Once you have chosen to talk to one part of the government, you can't then assert your Fifth Amendment right to talk to another part of the government. And so because she talked to the Justice Department, she's required to talk to Congress under that legal argument. And so it's just there are a lot of questions about how her lawyers handled this and how all sides have handled this. And right now there are dozens of legal opinions, memos, quotes floating around arguing how this is all going to turn out. And the end result is that, and we've talked about this before, this is going to end up in court, and it's going to take years and years and years, and eventually some final court will make a decision, and it may be way, way, way past any time that anybody cares about this anymore.
All right, and over the next 2 days, we're going to have a couple of House committees taking a closer look at this, right?
Yep, tomorrow we have the House Ways and Means Committee, and this was actually just newly announced. The House Ways and Means Committee will vote on an official referral asking the Justice Department to prosecute Lerner on criminal charges for criminal IRS charges for violating, through the Tea Party targeting scandal. And then on Thursday, the House Oversight Committee will take that first vote on a contempt proceeding, and that would then go to the full House. I believe both will eventually have to go to the full House. But it's, so she's now, this week, will be facing the beginnings of potential contempt and criminal investigations.
Mm-hmm. All right. Hey, before I walk away from this, you mentioned Ways and Means. Is Ryan the go-to guy? Does he look like he's going to be the replacement for Kemp?
That's a good question. There are a lot of people who think that. We'll have to wait and see. He has a lot of goodwill among House Republicans. He's done the hard work of writing these budgets. Everybody up here understands that writing a budget is really tough. It's the Tom DeLay used to say it was the toughest vote that the majority would have to take every year because it has so many moving parts, and there's always something in there that the opposition can point to and say, hey, you just voted for X and turned that into a campaign ad. So getting enough people to be able to buy into a budget is really tough, in particular because the Senate Democrats aren't even going to bother to write one. There's some question as to why House Republicans would open themselves up to that. But it's a symbol of serious governance for House Republicans to do this. And so Ryan gets a lot of credit for that. There are a lot of folks who think he'd be very good at the top of Ways and Means, whether it actually happens. You know, we'll have to wait and see.
Yeah, and he's part of the next story. Feds run $413 billion deficit at halfway point of fiscal year. That's bad, but good at the same time?
Yeah, I'd say it's less bad than it has been in the past is probably the way to view it. When you're getting hit really hard and you get hit slightly less hard, you do feel good about it, though you're still getting hit, and that's essentially where we are. That number last year in 2013, the first 6 months of fiscal year 2013, we had a $600 billion deficit at this point. So we're about 30% better than we were at this this point last time, and that's good. That's absolutely good. That's a good trajectory, especially given that last year was the first time we were under a $1 trillion deficit. And for what it's worth, these next 6 months in the year generally turn out to be pretty budget positive. So that $400 billion figure isn't likely to get much deeper than another $150 billion for a total of somewhere between $500 and $600 billion, which would be pretty good news given where we were a few years ago. Now, having said all that, there are some danger signs coming through here. First is that a lot of that that advance we've had in the deficit has been through spending cuts, which is really good news. You know, Congress never actually cut spending year to year from the previous year. Last year, the last 2 years, they've actually cut spending, overall spending year to year. That was stunning. It's the first time that's happened since right after World War II, and we're on pace for a third year right now, except that Congress, being an election year, they are looking to do what's called tax extenders, which is cutting cutting taxes for all these special business interests, and there are a number of spending proposals floating around up here that they Congress might like to do ahead of the election. So there are a lot of danger signs they could undo where they are, but at least as of right now, they've held the line pretty good.
All right, I want to go back to Ryan just for a second, because his budget would have helped to fix this problem, but it's not going anywhere, right?
That's correct. His budget is for 2015 and on. It wouldn't necessarily help this year, but
right.
It would have brought us into balance within a decade, so 2023, I believe, 2023 or 2024. And that was the trajectory, that, and that's why Republicans are doing this essentially this week, and they're going to vote on it this week on the floor, is so that they can show that they have a path to eventually get the balance. You know, President Obama and Senate Democrats have never put out a budget that gets you to balance, and House Republicans, that's the key thing that they are trying to do, is show, look, we can do this. It's really tough. There are going to be really, really awful budget cuts in order to get there. But if we want to get there, here's a path to doing that. And that's why, you know, the fact that Democrats have never put out a balanced budget is really sad, because you don't, you, from Republicans, at least you have a realistic plan. And it's a rough plan, but it says if you want to get the balance without raising taxes, here's the sort of cuts you'd have to do. By vice versa, you'd hope that Democrats would come out with a plan that says if you want to get the balance, here are the sort of tax increases we think you'll have to do. Then you have two real visions you can stack up. Right now, all you have is one party that's being brutally honest, and the other party that is not engaging the conversation, and that's sad for voters.
Mm-hmm. All right, illegal immigrants stage sit-in at Capitol offices. Protest Democrats. So they've given up protesting Republicans?
Well, they're spreading the protest around. But it's fair to say they are increasingly focused on Democrats. And, you know, we've talked in the past about them protesting. And, in fact, right now, there's a group that's been conducting a vigil outside the White House. And just today, they're starting a hunger strike out there outside the White House. There's also another hunger strike for immigration going on from women, arguing that women are key to immigration. That's going on elsewhere on the National Mall. But the big thing here is that it's now congressional Democrats. These are folks who've passed immigration bills. They've done what they can, but the groups are saying, no, that's not good enough. We want you to convey to President Obama how dangerous this issue is for you this year in an election year. We, the immigrant rights groups, think that you can pressure President Obama to stop deportations unilaterally. And so it's basically expanding pressure. They are so desperate to have something happen, and for that matter, they are feeling so politically powerful right now, at least in terms of a protest movement, that they believe they can pressure everybody. And it's really fascinating to watch.
Yeah, it is, especially when you're illegal and you get arrested and nothing really happens to you.
Yeah, you know, that's I've been working on a story for months and months and months about exactly that, and how the federal agencies literally won't talk to each other about when they come across folks who are here illegally. You know, Capitol Police do not they don't have a policy about what to do when they encounter an illegal immigrant, whether they're supposed to ask for ID and or whether they're supposed to ask for legal status, and whether they then turn them over to Immigration and Customs Enforcement. Park Police actually has a policy where they are not to ask. They specifically tell their officers, do not ask about legal status. That's not our job. And so, you know, it's sort of crazy. You end up with a situation where you can sort of understand some states that want to be sanctuary cities or sanctuary states moving that direction. But when you're the federal government and your job is to conduct deportations, and another arm of the federal government encounters these folks, you know, it's really surprising that they won't even talk with each other.
All right, one final thing. I only have about 30 seconds left. Businesses ask Congress for more high-tech visas. They're out of them?
April 1st was this round for the 85,000 visas that we grant every year to these high-skilled workers, and it took 5 days. There's a five-day period. We had more than 85,000 applications come in that five-day period, and so basically that avenue is shut down for the rest of this year. And so many came in, they're going to have to hold a lottery to decide who of those of the applications that came in actually gets those 85,000 slots. All of this is a way of saying that the business community is looking at this and saying, wow, we need to have an immigration bill. We need to take care of this. The big question is this. Do they still decide that they want a broad immigration bill that also legalizes illegal immigrants and does border security, does everything, or do they decide that they sort of want to get behind the House Republican plan where you would pass an individual bill just raising high-skilled immigration alone?
Mm-hmm. All right, Stephen, thanks for your help.
Pleasure, Andy.
1216, 1260 WRC, Andy Parks, live from the Washington Times. I'll be right back.